I could get your attention. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse number 9. And before we're seated, we'll read John 15, verse number 12. Praise God. As the Father hath loved me. We'll explain that a little here shortly. Amen. We know what other religions like to do, but let's read it. It's Bible. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. This is a remarkable verse here, and I really want it to resound to you tonight. Amen. Where the Word of God speaks and says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Amen. And then verse number 12 says, this is my commandment. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, it's a commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. These are two not random, not just Bible verses for the kids to memorize in Sunday school. But these are two verses to live by. And both of them are baffling to the common onlooker. I'm sorry, but they are. And they can even be baffling to newcomers. They can be baffling to people that have been in church for a while that cannot, as me, comprehend the love of God. But let's look at it. Let's feel it. And what I want to talk about is two verses for the very serious. Can you give me the title here? Two verses for the very serious. Two verses. Are you serious about it? Sure you are, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. So since you're serious about it, since I'm very serious about it, let's talk about these two verses tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not go to judgment without the knowledge and the understanding of these verses. Praise God. Would you pray for me that I can deliver it as God has given it? Let's pray it together. Jesus, we love you, lift you, thank you. We humbly come before your presence seeking nothing less than the will of God, the anointing of the Spirit and the moving of the Holy Ghost. We ask, Master, that you would let us walk in the Spirit as we deliver the Word of the Spirit. Your will be done right here, right now. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. God richly bless you. Again, thank you for being here this evening. Amen. Let's look at these scriptures once again, because John 15 and verse number 9 is, as the Father has loved me, how can you discern the depth of that? Then Jesus said, so have I loved you. Amen. And what is the depth of that, Jesus loving me? And then he challenges us to continue in his love. In other words, he has challenged us already to have the love that he has, because that's the way he loved the Father. Amen. Praise God. And so then John 15 and 12 kind of seals the deal when he says, this is my commandment. When he said this is a commandment, this ain't something you think about. This is not something you can do if you're in the mood. Amen. This is not something you could do just because it's something that somebody that loves you, somebody that cares about you. Amen. He said that you love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Have you been loved any better by anybody else besides Jesus Christ? I'm just telling you, your answer is no. I'm not going to give you a chance to answer that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Unless you've been misinformed. But I'm telling you, there is no greater love than the love of Almighty God. And then when he incarnated himself into the sonship of Jesus Christ, we witnessed his love once again. And then while we're witnessing his love again, he has commanded us to love as he has loved. Amen. And so I'm going to talk about these two verses that are very serious. Praise the Lord. There are over 31,000 verses of scripture in the King James Bible. The most important of those many verses that we can obey or that we have obeyed in our lives is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We'll go there in a few moments, not yet. But then the Bible said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because without having obeyed this verse, without having obeyed Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, can I get right down where the doctrine is? Amen. Obeying all other verses would have mattered very little, because as we know, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is emphatically and in fact the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Amen. Paul said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. In other words, I'm giving you the very same thing I have received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, and that saving gospel that Paul is referring to is applied when we obey Acts 2 and verse 38. Amen. Praise God. Because the gospel can only be applied according to the word Jesus Christ gave this disciple to preach on the day of Pentecost. That's why the Bible said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We know as children of God, as Christians, amen, New Testament, born again children of God, that you've got to be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is all we have. I don't want philosophy. Amen. I don't want a cookie cutter religion. I don't want, what is that little cookie you get at a Chinese restaurant? And I don't want fortune cookies. Amen. Amen. Because some of them are good, some of them are not. I think some of them came from the original Confucius, but some of them came from his apprentice. And they're funny. I like to read them. I don't read them all because I don't like the cookie. And sometimes I just don't bother to open it. But I read them sometimes. But I want the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that's going to save us. It's the Word of God and being obedient to the Word of God that's going to deliver us. So I'm not saying that the two verses I'm giving you are the most important verses, but I am saying after you have been obedient and you have obtained salvation, there are other verses that we really strongly need to adhere to. Amen. And we can't overlook them because of pride and prejudice. And we cannot overlook them because we're moody. And we're blue one day and we're excited the next. Or we feel it one day and we don't feel it the next. Amen. And so it's very, very vital and very, very important. Amen. There's a single verse of the Gospel of John. Of course, we've read it. And that it should profoundly affect our spirit. And it should profoundly affect our world. Our personal world. And that's the first 11 words of that scripture, John 15 and 9. Amen. As the Father hath loved me. Amen. So have I. Listen, do we feel the love of God? Do we know that God is love? Do we know God loves us? Amen. How much did you pay God to love you? How good looking did you have to be to get God to love you? Whose house did you have to be born into? What last name did you have to have? What's your pedigree? What color are you? What's your foundation? What's your creed? What's your nationality? You know, you want to know what the answer to that is? It doesn't matter. Because the love of God was shed abroad to all of our hearts. He said, continue in my love. Amen. Somebody say, seriously. Praise God. Amen. So to begin, we need to stop and consider Paul's statement in 1 Timothy 3:16. It's a very important scripture here. And without controversy, in other words, there's no argument about it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We know that God made himself a body and came as the sonship of Jesus Christ. He was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory. We understand that. Amen. That's scripture. And so it's great. It's a great mystery. But apostolics understand the mystery of godliness. Amen. And God was manifest in the flesh. Scripture informs us that the great omnipotent and singular God is a spirit and had no blood to shed. He also cannot be tempted and cannot die, as he is already eternal. It is this God that robed himself in human flesh at the incarnation of Jesus Christ to be all points tempted as we are, yet still without sin. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Amen. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, we do have a high priest that can be touched with all of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's no controversy about who he is. We're talking about him. We're not talking about them. Right? Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, he tasted death for every man. The eternal spirit, amen, he took on flesh through the auspices of the Virgin Mary and thus becoming the Son. And the Bible said, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Let me give you 2 Corinthians 5:19. Man, we're laying a base here, and I won't be lengthy after this, but to wit, there it is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, not unto them, but unto himself. Amen. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, he didn't come to judge them according to their sins that they had. And I'm not omitting sin. I'm telling you what he came to do was reconcile men from their sins. Amen? There's a greater sinner in here tonight than I am. There's probably a greater Christian in here tonight than I am. But which one does our God love the most? Which one did he die for the most? Did he spill more blood for one than he did the other? And the fact that he loves us both as much as anybody else, does that give me the right to sin? Absolutely not. Does it give you a right to be self-righteous and to think you're better than anybody else? Absolutely not. Does it give you the right to judge? Does it give me the right to judge? Does it make me and enable me to point my finger and say, I'm not going to get involved in that because of the person doing that? You can't be any more immature, and you can't be any more childish when in a day when we don't need immaturity right now. We don't need childish right now. We need people that will stand up and grow up and become what God needs them to be so we can have that end time apostolic revival. Will somebody help me right here? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I pastor? Can I pastor for a little while? Amen. Just for a few moments. Praise the Lord. So you want to do great things. You want to do great exploits. Why do you want to do great things? Why do you want to do exploits? So we can see it on Facebook. So we can see it on Instagram. So we can see it and hear about it and sing about it. And watch that false pose like, oh, no, don't talk about me. Oh, no, that's not me. Listen, amen. Why do we want to gather crowds and get involved when we can't get along with people? Amen. This is what the Lord has spoke to me this week. Why? Because it needs to be taught. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not coming with attitude. I'm coming with altitude. Amen. There's some people in the house tonight that are bigger than you are. You're much more than you are. You're greater than you are right here. But you got to come away from yourself and take on the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So you get mad. Just as easy as you get mad, get glad. You're dealing with people, man. And they're just as hard-headed and ornery as you are. And I am. Right? And so let's have patience with one another. And let's try to use a little humility with one another and learn one another. Amen. Hallelujah. And what works with one another so we can work with one another. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. One preacher said, don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good. Well, I'm just saying don't get mad at me because I'm teaching good. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, all of this, we know God came in the flesh. We understand that. That's not the issue. Amen. We're not teaching about that tonight. But we're just telling you there are two verses in the Word of God that you will excel and you will do great exploits. You will pass people up. Amen. But you'll never go, and you'll never be. Amen. If people get on your nerves to the point that you can't get along with them. If people get on your nerve, because that's what God sent you to do, is to be with people. And do I have a right to pick and choose? Do I have a right to pick and choose who can be in this church? Who can worship God and who can't? Who can love and who can't love? Who can... Hello? No one has that right except Jesus Christ. Because if somebody does come to God, it's going to be the Spirit that draws them. But it better not be your spirit that causes them to leave. Hallelujah. Rubber's meeting the road just a little bit here tonight, and I had no intentions for that, but I'm just simply saying, amen. There's some very important, vital things other than just Acts 2:38, and back he opened blinded eyes and healed the sick. Amen. Praise God. It's sometimes for an individual, for that to happen could be the worst thing that ever happened, because now they got it. And I can pick out a few people that don't. I know they don't. I don't talk to them. I don't go around them. I don't know. Hello? Hello? Amen. The very man that preached the scripture I read to you tonight, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Simon Peter. Amen. When he was hanging out with Jesus and they were in the crowd, they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. But when Jesus got him alone by himself, he said, hey, buddy, you're like your daddy, the devil. Read the Word of God. There were some things in him that Jesus had to dig out and get it as far from him as he could before he could ever cause his shadow to sweep over people. There was times when the history said when Simon Peter would walk by, there were so many sick that at his very shadow, when it would touch them, they were healed. But it wasn't until after Jesus had to get some stuff out of him. And I'm telling you right now, when you look in the mirror and you see some stuff, you better get that out of you right now. Amen. Because we need some healers in the house. We need some people that can really deliver. We need some people with altitude and no attitude. Praise God. So just how deep, how profoundly and endlessly deep was the love that the divinity had for the humanity. In other words, God had for Jesus. The Father had for the Son. That the Spirit had for the flesh, that the Father had for His Son again, through whom He manifested Himself to the world. It is, without a doubt, a love beyond our finite human comprehension. And He told us in a commandment to have that same kind of love, where people come up to you and say, they did you dirty, and you still love them, and you can say, yes, that's going to change the world. That's going to change their spirits. That's going to change their mind. They live in hate. They live in jealousy. They live in self-pleasure. You know, they take pictures of themselves every day, and it's still not doing it for them. But what we need is somebody that can love unconditionally, and somebody full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And somebody that can walk in the true spirit and the anointing and break down strongholds. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got too many empty seats in here. Would somebody stand up with me and toe the line and say, I am absolutely garbage, and I am blessed of God to even sit in here and be able to love my brother and to love my sister and to love one another and to hold one another. Who am I? Who am I? Woo. Hallelujah. He said, He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always these things that please Him. Amen. Unlike the first man, Adam, the second man, Adam, Jesus, He never displeased the Father, being obedient even unto death. Hallelujah. How deeply the Father loved the Son, and the Father loved, and the Bible said, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto His hand. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. Revelation comes with a love like I'm preaching about tonight. Revelation. Refreshing. Renewal. But you know what comes with you being the and me being the same old that we've always been? Nothing. Absolutely not one step forward than what we've already had. And chances of even having what we've had before may never happen again. Because the Lord has looked upon us to see what we have done with it. Did it make us better? Does what God does, my God coming into me, healing me from cancer, has it made me better? Has it made me stronger? Amen. I have an opinion, but mine doesn't even matter. Hallelujah. So what God has given you, has it made a difference? Has it made a change? Has it made you want to wash somebody's feet perhaps that you didn't even love? I'm not telling you to do that because they may not let you. But I'm just simply telling you. Hallelujah. We got to look at these two verses, ladies and gentlemen, before we leave this world. Before we go to judgment, there's a couple of other verses we need to get a look at. Amen. Hallelujah. However profound and however intriguing the contemplation of those first six words are, as the Father hath loved me, the following five words are even more so. Here's what He said. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved Him. There it is. There it is. As the Father has loved me, so now that's the way I'm going to love Him. Well, I love God. It's these people I have a problem with. You got a problem with people, you got a problem with God, because He came to die for those people. Hallelujah. The thought that Jesus loves me as deeply as the divinity, as deeply as the Spirit, as deeply as the Father Himself loved the flesh, His Son, is mind-boggling. It's breathtaking. But it's also comforting. Jesus Christ loves me as much as the Father loved Him. Those 11 words should grip. Those 11 words should captivate and bring unbelievable peace. Hallelujah. They drove spikes through his hands and he wasn't guilty. So what should he do? Turn his face on them? Should he scream out at them, "I got something for you"? Should he spit on them? Should he call 10,000 legions of angels to attack them when he could have? Should he just take the time to cuss them out? Should he just neglect them, avoid them, never speak to them, and make sure that our body language lets everybody else around know that I don't like that person? Is that the way he should act? He couldn't act that way because he was loving God the same way God loved him. And now he's telling you to love him and your brother and your sister the same way. Hallelujah. We'll get there. We're going there. Praise God. All of this closely parallels what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. He said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Somebody say amen. "And with all thy soul." Amen. "And with all thy mind." Amen. "This is the first and great commandment." Amen. "And the second is like unto it." The second one, he said, is just like it. The second one is identical. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Whoa. Whoa. Now maybe we can add them to the album. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything from the Old Testament to the New Testament hang on these two elements. And there's not one that's better than the other. So now you just told me you love God with all your heart, mind, your soul, spirit, all that good stuff. And then the very next verse said to love your neighbor the very same way. Amen. If there's the quality and the maturity, if there's the stability of love flowing out of Landmark that should, then when that tsunami apostolic revival hits, then we're going to be right in the big middle of it. But if God can't trust us to the point that he knows that all they got to do is say something sideways to us and we hate them, all they got to do is do just a little something wrong and then they're just going to get, hey, why should he bring them to begin with if we're going to be the ones to cause them to leave and then get up in here Sunday night and shout about how much we love Jesus? It's coming. It's coming whether you want it to come or not. But when it comes, and just before it's here, it's going to make some demands. And that's why I'm teaching it tonight. Because there is an urgency for people to get these verses and to get them down and to stand on them and to live for God accordingly. Brother Alex, I can see you winning 20 people. I can see all this front row. My Lord, man. Hey, I'd love to donate that section over there to the homeless. Amen. I'd love our workers, our companions, our friends, our people that we associate with. Amen. I'd like for one person to fill up one section. Four people could fill up this church. Amen. What could 200, what could 300 do if we loved one another, cared for one another in the same way? And because if we did it for one another, we're surely going to do it when they get here. Hallelujah. There's not going to be any qualms. There's not going to be any question about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They're going to drink. They're going to stink. And they're going to think totally different than what we did. Hey, but bring them on. We'll take care of them. For of such was I. Remember? Remember? Hallelujah. Amen. And so look at Galatians 5 and 14, if you would, with me. Loving God completely and your neighbor as yourself is the fulfillment of all the scripture. Every scripture, every word, 66 books, thousands of verses, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. See it? Even in this, right here, right now, here it is. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if some of us loved our neighbor like we're loving ourselves right now, we're going to get the job done. But when it comes to love and we leave our neighbor out, there will nothing be done in that arena. Amen. As we work our way through the strife and the turmoil of this terrible generation, depleted 21st century, North American and world society, let's stand together. I want us, as the people of God, catch the precious revelation of not only God's love for us, but also the desperate need for the church body to love one another as well. Why? I'm glad you asked. And it's my final words. Because he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That's how they're going to know. When they walk away from any given service and say, I have never seen a church love one another like that. I have never seen a together like that. I have never seen a unity like that. I have never felt a family spirit like that. I've had people tell me, I'm a person that likes tiny, small churches, but I'll visit. And they visit and they said, I could go here because this has that same feeling, but with all the people. God's love for us needs a people that has a love for one another. Because if you have love for one another, you are fulfilling the will of all the scriptures combined. All of it. What did he say? Go ahead. Talk with the tongues of men and of angels. But if you ain't got charity, you're a sounding brass and a little tinkling cymbal. And so what I want to do is I want to get under God's radar. And I would love for him to examine me. Because I tell God all the time, if I'm lacking in an area, Lord, you point it out, and we're going to deal with this. And if I don't love my brother and my sister like I should, if I can't love my church family as I should, then how in the world am I going to love those that are lost that I don't even know? You ever seen a puppy chase his tail? You ever seen that? How many of you have ever seen him catch it? It's a very rare item. It's just a circle. Just round and round and round and round and round. I'm just saying, maybe I've given somebody the answer that can cause you to jump off the merry-go-round and do great exploits for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I wonder if we could just build an altar for about 2 minutes. I know it's Bible study night, but it just wouldn't be right. I just can't help but feel the Lord. He's just tugging on hearts. He's tugged on mine all day. Amen. With this, and I'm asking you right now, could we call on the name of Jesus and reach out to the name of the Lord and just ask Him to give us these two very serious, very important verses. Amen. Love Him as He loved the Father. And then to love others as myself. Call on the name of Jesus right now. And if you'll do this with me, in not many days hence, you'll have somebody beside you that you never even expected to be beside you. You'll have someone in church with you that you never dreamed would be in church with you. Someone will be reaching out. Someone will be seeking God that you never thought would seek God again. Hallelujah. We're going to do this because this is who we are. We're going to do this because this is what we are. We're going to do this because this is what we do. We understand it. We've grown enough. We've matured enough. We've got enough Word of God to verify it. This is who I must be. And I accept it in the name of Jesus. I accept it. I believe it and I stand on it. And I want it. I want it. I want it. Tell Him you want it. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, my.
This is God's house.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's where
holy.
He lives. And in
God's house.
I find a refuge.
This is my refuge. Yes.
I'm living in.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, folks, as you're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly. Greet one another. Amen. There's guests and visitors in the house. Please let them know they're very welcome. We're glad they're here. Hey, folks, let's do this. Brother Carson, Sister Amanda had to send their little kids off. Not just their kids, but even more special than that, my grandkids. Sent them to Missouri for a couple of weeks to be with their other grandma and grandpa. And then now they are departing for the other side of the world, Bangladesh, to go and do youth ministry. I'm going to ask them to come down, and I'd like for the men and women that will join with us, friends and family, and after teaching like that, even their enemies, I'd like for them to come. Praise God. And let's believe God to put His hand of safety upon them and their children. Both parts of the family traveling extensive miles. Amen. I believe one part of the flight for Bangladesh is 12 hours long. And then when they get there, we don't want any hostility and all of that. And we don't want any problems with, customs and all that kind of stuff and the border. And in other words, what we pray tonight can go with them and they could have great revival. I'd love for them to come back saying, Dad, I saw blind eyes open. I saw deaf ears unstopped. Hallelujah. Let's believe God for it right now together, can we? Jesus, we ask You, Lord, to touch brother and sister Carson Marshburn right now by Your divine Spirit, Your wonderful grace, Your deep anointing, Lord, the love and goodness and kindness of God. Holy Ghost, we celebrate this ministry tonight. We celebrate this burden tonight. We celebrate this passion tonight. Holy Ghost, and we ask You, God, to bless them deeply, mightily, and powerfully. Let the word of God go forth in a great way, and let the anointing break yokes, tear down strongholds. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' wonderful name, touch their babies, Lord, on their little journeys and their good times with their family. In the mighty name of the Lord, your protection, your keeping power, your prevention, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for the love of God. God bless you tonight.